From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, Americans could annually save about 350 billion barrels worth of oil if only we didn't waste so much food. Some of the rival bidders for Canada's Potash Corporation are working to derail a potential sale to BHP. And word from Russia specs this year's crop at about a third less than last, and winter wheat sowings this fall down by half from a year ago at this time. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And then we'll review a small portion of an interview with U of I ag economist Scott Irwin from last Friday. The question at hand is which end user of corn will cry uncle first. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day lower in the nearby December soft red winter wheat pit, down a dime at 7.09 1/4. March at 7.44 1/2, 9 1/4 lower. The May at 7.60, down 9.5 cents. And July at 7.58 1/4. New crop in the soft red, down 6 3/4. Hard red, Kansas City at 7.46 3/4. Lead option there, down 11 3/4 on the afternoon. From the corn pit in Chicago, that's where things turned to green. December contract, 5.55 3/4, 27.5 cents higher. March at 5.65, up 27.5, and the May at 5.70 1/2, up 28. July 5.74, up 28 3/4. Next year's December at $5.14, up 2 3/4. November beans at 11.52 1/2, up 17 1/2. The January at 11.63, up 18. May at 11.77 1/2, up 20 1/4. July 20 3/4 higher at 11.84 1/2. And next year's November at 11.31 1/2, up just a penny and a half on the day. Mercantile Exchange, October live cattle, 95.35, down 20. Feeders at 107.15, down 57 1/2. And lean hogs at 73.70, down 82 1/2. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $82.26 a barrel in the November contract, down 40 cents today. November ethanol at 218 3/10, that's 0.1 cent lower. Natural gas is down 4 3/10 at 360 8/10, and the heating oil or diesel fuel trading now at $2.27 9/10 a cent, down 0.2 cents. Gold futures at $1,353.30. Settlement price up $9.10 on a Monday afternoon. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 9 points higher at 11,015. The U.S. dollar trading 77.44 is up 0.11. And the CRB index for the afternoon at 296.37. is up 1.26 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for today. Columbus Day, partly sunny, a high near 84 degrees in the Urbana-Champaign area. West winds around 9 miles an hour, gusting as high as 15 miles an hour for the afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 53. North-northwest winds between 5 and 7. And Tuesday, mostly sunny skies. It'll be high about 81 degrees tomorrow. North winds out at northeast winds at about 6 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low 53 degrees. North-northwest winds between 3 and 6. And Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers. Partly sunny, a high near 71 degrees. That's right, 71, not 81. South-southwest winds between 5 and 11. Wednesday night, a low of 44. Thursday, sunny, a high near 67. Thursday night, a low of 41 and mostly clear. And Friday, it should be sunny with a high of 70 degrees. A more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, takes a look with us at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It was a busy day Friday, a busy day and overnight trade last night. And I think it might be important to note that, certainly they gapped higher again, but that the corn futures finished on the bottom end of their trading range.
Yeah, we saw, kind of reminds me of the game Keep Away. That report came out Friday morning there, and of course we gapped higher, stayed the limit up. Then we were 45 cents out of the chute last night, and they kept it up there. Then, you know, as time went on, we started seeing a little bit of fund liquidation, profit taking. The market just sort of crept back, for say. But yeah, if you look at the charts there, we did leave a sizable chart gap, and the big question now is, are we going to go back down and make an attempt to fill part of this big gap we've left? And with the stochastics and momentum indicators, RSI is extremely overbought, the market could take a pause here and do some backing and filling. A little bit of confusion on who did what today. During the day, a lot of the services were talking about funds were big sellers, but then the day other newswire reported that funds were big buyers. So it'll be interesting to see what the volume and open interest shows in the morning, see if this was sort of a little bit of a liquidation here that we saw here today, Todd.
It's probably important to note that this is also kind of a congestion area from the September 2008, where we gapped up to anyway. And it'll be important to watch that on the tech charts. What are producers asking? I suspect they want to sell. They want to know whether they should sell corn to begin with. What do you tell them?
Well, everybody's different. Questions. There's ones that sold and wishing they would have not and wanting to buy it back. And there's others still have inventory to sell. We continue to encourage producers to keep scooting this out the door as we move higher here. Replace ownership with some covered positions. That's been our tone, and we'll continue to go down that path here as these are very good levels and need to reward the marketplace as we move along here. The biggest thing is that guys are doing is looking forward now into 2011 and 2012, wanting to make some sales a little bit longer term. There's nothing wrong with that as long as we don't get too aggressive, because what could happen is we market that 2011, 2012, and the market keeps going and our inputs go up. There is some talk that anhydrous ammonia fertilizer prices have taken big surges here on this price rally with the corn, and there's talk that some of these input people have not set prices for the 2011 crop yet either. So you got to have a little caution there and be on top of if you're going to go down that path.
If they do go down that path, they're cautious. Are they capable of making a cash sale that far out? Can they get a bid? Have you heard? And if not, what are we doing in the futures markets to cover it?
Well, I would highly recommend coming to Bates and doing a hedge if you're going to do that. Heck, those cash guys, even though they are good people.
There you go.
There's some marketing out there. What you can do, though, is either or, you can do some covered strategies. There's some real creative ideas still floating out there on how to cover that to give you some flexibility on that. It just depends what your risk tolerance is. Some of your most successful farmers you've had on the program there have stated over the years that, you know, if it's profitable, you know, lock it in fully, you know, and take it and don't look back and look forward, too. So that's the best piece of advice I get as a producer. You know, as a trader, boy, you can't wear two hats, but as a trader, you know, this market's going to be good for quite a while yet.
What do you see in the bean market?
following along here, I think beans are going to see a higher yield estimate as we move down the road, but I think that demand is going to stay solid. Demand is going to continue to be underneath the marketplace. Beans could maybe be a little bit of a sleeper here short term until we get a little better handle on the southern hemisphere. That's going to be the main determinant there. Barriers were dry. We've got some moisture in the forecast. In fact, some beneficial moisture for Argentina and even parts of Brazil. With the weather events we're seeing worldwide here, I think the bean market is probably going to make its move here as we go into the last part of this year into November and December and see what the weather pattern is there, Todd.
If you were looking for them to move higher and on the overnight, I suspect you weren't looking for them to move as high as they did. They were in lockstep a lot of times with corn, in, at least in terms of how high. They were up 45, I think, or thereabouts at one time. Did that surprise you very much? The synthetic didn't show that on Friday.
No. You know, all those markets, just to show you how strong it was, you go back and look on Friday's trade there. Just everything's a locked limit. Just no sellers and everybody wanting to be a buyer, per se, so just a lot of enthusiasm there. As far as so-called decoupling, for say, the wheat market sort of gave up the run here.
Right.
And that's a popular seasonal here, as you buy corn, sell wheat, buy beans, sell wheat. So that's probably the trade here as we move along, is corn continues to be the strong one. Beans will be hot and cold, and wheat will be the weak link.
How about if you're on the livestock side, do you need to do anything at this point besides stand aside and watch for a bit?
Well, if you can pick up some cash grain somewhere, definitely, you know, go ahead and do that, then cover it with a put option. Otherwise, you probably need to do a bull call spread here in the options where you can put in 15, 20 cents and protect yourself from a $1, $1.20 rally here. The funds are in here. They're going to push it dramatically both ways, and they're going to overextend it to the upside, and they'll turn around and overextend it back to the downside at some point in time.
Thanks so much.
Very good. Thanks.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, a new report in the journal Environmental Science and Technology concludes that over a quarter of the total U.S. food supply ends up in the garbage each year. According to the study, if this wasted food were eliminated, it would save the country 350 billion barrels of oil annually. The foods associated with the greatest energy loss are dairy and vegetables, as they are more likely to be thrown out. According to an earlier USDA report, about 15.7% of total energy expenditure in the U.S. is used for food production that during the 2007 calendar year. New reports say that rival bidders may be looking to derail BHP's $39 billion bid for Canada's Potash Corporation, with China's Sinochem and a Canadian pension fund working on plans. Canada's Ontario Teachers' Pension Plan is talking to Singapore investment fund Temasek about launching an offer for potash, possibly with Canadian Miner Tech Resources. Temasek declined to comment on the report. Temasek was previously approached by China's Sinochem to join a bid. Russian Agriculture Ministry reports today say that drought-devastated Russia harvested 60.96 million tons of grain by bunker weight as of October 5th, down 33.2% from a year ago. The ministry data shows that farmers have sown 11.37 million hectares with winter grains, down from 14.25 million hectares a year ago. Russia aims to sow 15 million hectares with winter grains for the 2011 crop, down from 18 million last year. A draft proposal suggests that the European Union plans to allow up to 0.1% of unapproved genetically engineered material to imports of animal feed, but not human food. The proposals from the European Commission are seen as to avoid a repeat of last year's disruption to EU animal feed supplies when U.S. soy cargoes were blocked after traces of unapproved GE material were found. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs you can find with all the rest of our agricultural programming on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, the supply of corn in the U.S. has suddenly dropped sharply. Now it seems the race will be on to see which end user of the grain will decide to cut back first.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
The supply of corn predicted to be left in the United States by next fall is predicted to be less than a billion bushels. That's a really small number and means the price of corn is likely to go higher and will need to go high enough to limit the usage of the grain. The top end of the USDA predicted cash price for corn is now $5.40. Here's Scott Irwin on the cash price and rationing.
I think we're now setting up a basic pricing scenario where the market has to discover at what price level will which of these three main sectors cry uncle first?
The three sectors that consume corn are livestock, ethanol production, and the export market.
This is a really interesting situation to try to figure out what's going to happen because on the livestock side, we've got generally throughout the sector fairly high prices and profits, and then with the normal biological, you know, the lags it takes, even if the the sectors begin to adjust, it's going to take some time, and you know the marketing year is already started, so you know before those adjustments, if they were going to occur, it will take most of a year, so it's hard to see a great deal of softness on that feed and residual number. It's hard to see much more softness on the export side, given the pressures that have been created through the weather problems in Russia and the Ukraine.
Those countries had a short year for wheat production, and the U.S., actually U.S. corn, is expected to substitute for some of the feed wheat needs around the globe. It leaves only the ethanol market domestically to make a downward adjustment in corn usage.
It only leaves ethanol to deal with, and there is a little wiggle room there in the sense that the current projection of 4.7 billion bushels used for ethanol is implies an ethanol production above the RFS mandate. That's roughly in the neighborhood of 4.45 to 4.5 billion bushels of corn. So the ethanol industry could throttle back maybe a couple 100 million bushels, but it can't go any less than that.
Cannot supply any less than that. But how that supply comes can be adjusted because the ethanol blenders, the oil industry, have been stockpiling, relatively speaking, their usage in the form of pay-it-forward certificates called RINs, maybe in an amount equivalent to 200 to 400 million bushels of corn. That's possible, but Irwin says the University of Illinois numbers say ethanol producers and the industry can afford to pay a lot more than $5 for corn.
the bottom line, and our figures indicate that it's going to take a cash corn price of at least $6 a bushel to make those ethanol plants shut down from where they are today.
The race should make for an interesting, if volatile, year in the market, and maybe even in Washington policy-setting circles, as U.S. EPA, USDA, and the administration dicker over the blend rate, and maybe now, the mandate. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from willag.org and Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason from U of I Extension. On the phone line with us this afternoon, Jenny Springer of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. Good afternoon to you, Jenny.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Busy day there, I bet.
We have had a busy day. You know, with us being opened up, limit up in the night session and then trading off of that a little bit, I think there was a little bit of, not necessarily panic, but guys were saying, you know, I'm not going to be greedy and I'm going to go ahead and take advantage of a, you know, 550 plus price on the board.
And you were able to offer that up to them, I take it then?
Mm-hmm.
And how far off, and did you have much of an increase in your spread?
Rephrase that, Todd.
Did your basis widen?
No, we're 12 under on our basis.
Oh, wow. So I bet they're very happy campers in that case, aren't they? And are you able to bid out to next year, too?
Yes. We're our 11 basis, we're at a 35 under on basis. So for a while today, we were able to offer a $5 cash price delivery for 11 crop.
Wow, and did you have many take advantage of that?
We had some. A lot more guys were hedging, you know, taking the bet that the basis will get better by next fall, which we're at a 35 under, and we narrowed in, obviously, this year. So guys are banking on that.
Okay.
Good play on their part, I think.
Yeah, and then on the bean market, did you follow that one up, too?
On price?
On your basis,
on basis, no. Our basis on beans is 30 under, and we had some guys selling stuff out of DP, and then we did have some new crop sales today as well. More hedges than we did flat price because our basis is wide, 45 under on the beans for next fall.
How close are guys to being getting done completely now in the Champaign County and Eastern Illinois area?
I would say by Wednesday this week we'll have guys pretty well finished up except for, you know, the replanted ponds in the areas. I know some guys were talking today that they were going to start taking some of those out, but for the majority, I think we'll be done. We're already cutting back hours, you know, back to normal business hours for dumping.
Did they think that USDA's 155 on the corn was more apt than?
A lot of the comments were, we're glad they're finally seeing what we're seeing, you know, because guys saw it in the fields, and it just seemed like the USDA wasn't following any of that.
Okay, thanks much. Any final word from you? I already got your bids, so.
Nope. I think that, you know, even though we traded down today, I think we're still going to see prices trade higher.
Jenny, thanks so much.
Yep.
Jenny Springer is with the Andersons. Somebody from that office joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. I'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois.
It's National Sausage Pizza Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1844, Henry John Heinz was born, founder of the H.J. Heinz Company and creator of its slogan, 57 Varieties. At age 12, Heinz was already peddling produce from the family garden. And at age 25, he launched his first product, his mother's grated horseradish, bottled in clear glass. In 1881, Louis Richardson was born, a British physicist. He was the first to apply mathematics and weather prediction. The Richardson number, a quantity involving gradients of temperature and wind velocity, is named after him. In 1884, Frederick Burgess was born. A German chemist, he invented a process for converting coal dust and hydrogen directly into gasoline and lubricating oils. He treated a mixture of pulverized coal and oil with hydrogen under high pressure. For his work, he shared the 1931 Nobel Prize for Chemistry. In 1887, the first accurate adding machine was patented by Don Eugene Felt. The original casing for his comptometer was a grocery macaroni box, and he assembled the device with a jackknife using meat skewers as keys, staples as key guides, and elastic bands for springs. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. Josh Darr of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago now joins us. Good afternoon to Josh.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
It's a beautiful day. Indian summer for part of the Midwest, I suppose. We'll count it here, too.
Yeah.
Warm and really comfortable, but that's going to change as we get through the week to something, I suppose, more seasonable. Tell me about it.
Sure. We have a front coming through the belt here late Wednesday into Thursday, moving northwest to southeast across the belt, and minor rain showers with this. It's certainly no big deal, should not impede any harvest activity, even as most fronts have been the past couple of weeks and even month or two. They're rather dry coming through, so some scattered activity, but no widespread heavy rainfall. We do bring a little bit more of an autumnal air mass in behind it, but again, we don't even drop below normal with that air mass, and we warm back up by the latter portion of the weekend, early next week. Next rain chances would be, well, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, another front comes through, but again, not a big rain producer. So we're getting some rain with these fronts as compared to the bone dry pattern we've been in, but really it's not a turn to a wetter or cooler pattern.
You are in the business of helping to look forward a long way through the winter months and deciding how much usage there might be of natural gas and such.
Yes.
Do you think that we'll have an average winter, or what kind of forecast are we looking for?
Winter to us is looking warmer than normal, and there's several variables out there, one of them being La Nina conditions in the Pacific that are pointing us to a jet stream that's displaced way far north up near the U.S.-Canadian border for a good portion of the winter. So certainly there will be storms in the area across the winter at times and certainly some snow associated with that. But by and large, it's looking like a warmer-than-normal pattern for the central and eastern U.S., including most of the Midwest. So certainly a dramatic change from a winter ago.
Let's visit the southern hemisphere, Brazil and Argentina, for the beginning of their growing season.
Yeah, it's been a dry start for northern Brazil, Mato Grosso and Goiás, well below normal, less than 50% normal of rainfall over the past 30 days. Usually you start the rainy season the back half of September. That hasn't happened yet. Story changes next week. We finally bring some frontal activity up in the area. You start the South American monsoon, and so last 7 to 10 days of the month look wetter for that area, and that will be needed given their sandy soils and their propensity to dry out more quickly.
And then back to the northern hemisphere, but we'll head over to Russia and Ukraine, where they should be getting much further along in the plant sowing of their winter wheat crop, but are only about half as far at this time this year as they were last year. I suppose that's because it's still dry.
Still dry. And not only that, Todd, it's been well below normal temperatures to start off the month of October. You've seen highs in the 40s and 50s most days and lows in the 30s across the majority of the Ukraine and Russia wheat belt. So you haven't been able to germinate any of the crop here recently. We do trend a little warmer late this week. Some moisture coming into the far southern areas, but by and large, there's probably going to be areas that don't get in and germinated before we bring on winter later this month into November in Ukraine and Russia.
Did we not touch on any place you wanted to make sure we touched bases?
Those are the hot spots, Todd. It's great to talk with you this afternoon.
Hey, good to talk with you, too. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. That's Mark Russo. He's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. You can hear him again and the whole program, if you'd like, up on our website. Just visit willag.org. There's even ways to sign up for this program as a podcast. You can do that in iTunes if you just search for my name, or visit willag.org and sign up for the podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and have a great afternoon.